Christian first. When it starts to talk about crucifixion, I would like to ask you a question first. I would like you to tell me who died on the cross. I would like you to tell me who died on the cross. Why he does that? Who died on the cross? Is God or a man? The one who died on the cross, is God or a man? Why? Because if you're saying that God Almighty died on the cross, I'm telling you that God Almighty will never die. God cannot die. Why? Who said so? The Bible. Where? If you look in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the Lord, our God, is true God. He is the living God and everlasting God. God Almighty cannot die. God lives forever. Also, the first letter, for Timothy, chapter 6, verse 16, said about God Almighty, said, who alone is immortal, that God Almighty, He lives forever, He will never die. God will never die. So you cannot tell me that God died on the cross. Now, if you tell me that the one who died on the cross is not God, is a man, you have a big brain rather. Why? Because one man's heart is not enough to carry the sin than mankind. One man is not enough to carry the sin for mankind. Can carry the sin for mankind. So now, either way you lose, you are now in the predicament of humankind. He's spoken of it, spoken of. Can you hear me? Well, I have a problem with the sound. Can you hear me? Is the sound clear? It says there's no sound. Alright, now, crucifixion depends on that we as a mankind carry the sin of Adam. Because Adam sinned, everybody is a sinner. But actually, this is not true. Who said so? Jesus. Where? Because every child born innocent without any sin. Every child born innocent without any sin. Who is that? In Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. Jesus said about the children. He said, but Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. So according to Jesus, that the child born innocent, he does not carry anything. And the kingdom of heaven is for these children. So now when you're telling me everybody's a sinner because the sin of Adam, I'm telling you, no, you're wrong. Because Jesus said that every child born anything without carrying any sin. Now, I would like to refer to something. If you go to the book of Chronicles, the first letter for Chronicles, chapter 15, verse 15. The first letter for Chronicles, chapter 15, verse 14. Paul, said, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also in vain. Paul said, in the first letter for Chronicles, chapter 15, verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. Okay. So now, tonight, I will prove to you that Jesus never died, therefore Jesus never resurrected again. Paul also said in his letter to Corinthians, 1st of Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 35, he asked a question, he said, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come?
So he answered this question and said, the question is mean, when the people lift up, how they look like? So he answered the question in verse 43, verse 20, chapter 14, verse 43. He said, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in honor and ruins. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. So what he's saying over here? He's saying when you die, when you're resurrected again, you're resurrected as a spirit. As spirit, you become spiritualized. Look at that. Who does that? Jesus also said the same thing. Jesus said that when you die, when you're directed again, you become spiritual. You become like angels. Where is that? Look in the book of Luke, chapter 20, verse 34, 36. And the answer is, Jesus said unto them, the children of the world marry and are given in marriage, but they wish shall be accounted worthy to obtain that work. And the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor given in marriage. Listen to that. Neither can they die anymore. Neither they can die anymore. For they are equal to angels. So Jesus and Paul said, when you die and you will resurrect you again, you become a spirit, spiritualized. You become like angels. Alright? So now I would like you to go now at the end of Luke, when Jesus appeared to his disciples in the other room where they had the last supper after Jesus alleged crucifixion. What happened to them? Listen to me. He said this in Luke chapter 36 verse 20. Chapter 20 verse 36. Luke 20 36. What is happening? No, we said this, I'm sorry, no. 36:24. I hold 1 minute brief. I just misread the number. Give me just 1 minute brief. Chapter 24, verse 36, 41. And there in the Bible. That is me. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. And said unto them, these be also to you, and were terrified and frightened. Why? His disciples, when they saw Jesus, were terrified and were afraid. I'm asking you, why the disciples, when they saw Jesus, were terrified and afraid? I tell you why. هواي في الفايت يا اخوة كاتب على ال... كنت كاتب ايه يا اخوة كاتب انا مش عالم في النصرانية انا متأسف بيتأسف بيقول لك انا مش عالم في النصرانية اخدين بس يا اخوة ترجم الكلام يا اخوة كاتب هو انا مش عالم في النصر انا مش عالم وانا بتأسف وبعدين كاتب الويبسايت بتاعه هنا يا اخوة حدا هواي the disciple was afraid and terrified اتولي واحد because if you read in Mark chapter 14, verse 50, he found out that all his disciples forsook him and fled. Mark 15, 60, he found out that all his disciples left him and fled. What does that mean? It means there was no eyewitness. To crucifixion. Because all his disciples, all of them, fled. So now, after the alleged crucifixion, they think Jesus was already dead.
But they see Jesus face to face with the word purified. They think Jesus is a spirit. As a spirit. Because they heard from a heresy that Jesus, they heard from a heresy that Jesus died. They heard from the heresy that Jesus buried. They heard from the heresy that Jesus went in the grave. From a heresy. Nobody was eyewitness. Mark 14:50. Everybody left him and flee. So now, but they were terrified and frightened. And afraid, and suppose they had seen spirit. Suppose they had seen spirit. And he said unto them, why you are troubled, and why you thought arise in your heart? Behold my feet, my hands, and my feet. It is me. Handle me and see. For a spirit has no flesh, no bones. Jesus telling them in plain English, I'm not a spirit, I'm not a spook, I am not ghost, I am the same Jesus, I never die, I am a visitor, I am here, I'm not just a spirit, and I live before for you. Paul said that when you die, you become a Jesus, resurrected again as a spirit, you become equal to angels. But Jesus said, no, I'm not a spirit. Why Jesus not a spirit? Because I have a flesh and bones, and we have flesh and bones, you're not a spirit. And Jesus, you want to prove to them, he's still alive. I'm not dead yet. I'm still alive. I'm not dead. I'm not resurrected. So he told them, handle me and see. Handle me and see. For a spirit has no flesh or bones. You hold my hand, my feet. That it is me, myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit has no flesh and bones. As you see, he has. So he's telling them in plain English that it's me. I'm here, I didn't die yet. Because if I die, I'll be spirit. But I'm not a spirit, I'm a flesh and bones. And when he has thus spoken, and he showed them his hands and his feet, and why they lived not for joy, and wonder, he said unto them, have you had any meat? When he asked him about if you have any food, any meat, why? To prove it's good? To prove it's a spirit? No! He want to prove to them, I am here, I'm still alive, I want to prove it to you. Give me food, I want to eat. And what happened? They gave him food and he ate in front of them. Have you had any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb, and he took it and did eat it before them. To prove what? He ate it to prove what? Is it spirit? A spook? A ghost? No. To prove he's a physical. He's the same one. He did not die yet. I'm still here. I never died. I never resurrected again. I'm the same person. You tell me how many times I have this? How many times I have this? 3 minutes. Okay, great. So now Jesus said, now Jesus said, said to him, that I'm alive, I never die, because if I die, I get spirit. Now, I will prove to you too, that Luke said Jesus was alive, that Mary Magdalene said Jesus was alive, the angel said Jesus was alive, and the people said Jesus was alive. And there's a big difference between the word alive and the word resurrected. The term they use, alive, hide. Not resurrected, alive, not resurrected. Who said that? Luke. Well, Luke said that. Luke, in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, verse 1. Book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, verse 1, Luke said. That said he was alive. Said he was alive. Not dead, not resurrected, he was alive. 1, 2. Mary Magdalene said also he was alive. Mark chapter 16, verse 11.
I'm sorry, Brother Hisham. It's time. I'm sorry, Brother.
Time it over, Brother Hisham. You have extra 16 seconds because of the delay for your sound. I don't know, do not agree with this? He died in 15 seconds. Shall we give it to him? Okay. لك 15 ثانية أخي وسام إن أردت أن تحسب فيها سبق الله.
No, it's okay, I'm okay. Everybody 15 minutes, if the time is finished, if I want to give up my time, it's finished, it's okay. If you want to give him, if you want to give his time up, it's okay. Do not add up, the mic is good. Listen to
him. One second before he gets the mic. يا جماعة فتحنا غرفة أخرى. There is another room open. Because this room is full. There is another room with the same name. هناك غرفة أخرى أكوان فتحت لها نفس العنوان نفس الاسم لأن هذه الغرفة امتلأة.
Huh. Sorry, I did not press the button down. Well, my mic jumped on, so I didn't mean to step it on you. So let me get off and you can finish talking. I just went on by itself. My apologies. Go ahead.
It's okay, Matt. Allow me for 5 seconds to hit the time. Matt, Mark is yours. You can start.
All right. Thank you very much. So the debate is supposed to be on, was Jesus crucified or not? That's what I was told it would be, and I said I'd agree to that. And since we're using the Bible, and the Bible talks about Jesus as the eyewitnesses who wrote about Jesus and were there and saw him before and after his resurrection, I thought I would just read some of the verses. This really won't take that long. Matthew 23:34. I'll have to post it in because you guys aren't having letting me have anybody to post in stuff for me. So here's this verse. Matthew 23:34, therefore behold, as Jesus speaking, I'm sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them will kill you or crucify, and some of them will scourge you to the gods and persecute from city to city. So this is a prophecy Jesus made that this kind of thing would happen to Christians. It certainly happened to him. And here we have Matthew 27:36, and they put up above his head, this is why he's been crucified. They put up above his head the charge against him, which read, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. At the time, two robbers were crucified with him. Matthew wrote this, and it's right there. None of the disciples repudiated it. In fact, there are no references anywhere of any of the Romans or the Jews even saying he wasn't crucified. I mean, this was out, the New Testament was out for everybody to see, and there's no accounts anywhere of anybody saying it wasn't true. So there's one verse. There's another verse. John 19:41. And that says, now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, and which no one had been laid, talking about where they're going to put him down, put his body down. And then after the resurrection and the ascension to heaven, Peter was there. He is preaching a sermon in Acts 2:35. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So that says he was crucified. I mean, that's what it says. And how about this verse, 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. And another one I'll just throw in, and then I'll start answering some of the objections he raised. Let's see, how about this verse? John 19:16-18, so he then delivered him to be crucified. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which was called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two other men, one on either side and Jesus in between. So the Bible teaches he was crucified. What really is amazing to me is you would use the Bible to try and say he wasn't crucified when it says he was. So when I quote the verses that say he was crucified, all you can do is say the Bible's wrong. That's the best you can do. But yet you'll use the Bible to support your view. And if I use the Bible to support my view, you'll say what I quote is wrong, but what you quote somehow is right. It just doesn't make any sense. You pick and choose. And the Bible clearly says he was crucified. The debate's over, as far as I'm concerned, because The Bible says he was crucified. So he's crucified. But let me go and try and answer a few questions. You asked, who died on the cross, God or man? Well, we went over this last week, I pointed it out last week. I'll point it out again, respectfully, but apparently you don't hear or want to hear, I don't know, the explanation, which I quoted from Scripture as well, that Jesus Christ is both human and divine, both God and man at the same time. For example, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, in him dwells all the fullness of deity in bodily form. Philippians 2, 5 through 8, have this attitude in yourselves, which also is in Christ Jesus, who, although he was existing in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as anything to grasp, but emptied himself, taking the form of a man. He humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. But it says in Philippians. So Jesus is both God and man. That's what the Bible teaches. You don't have to agree with it. I know you don't. But that is what it teaches. And so when you say, who died on the cross, God or man, it's the wrong question in light of what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that Jesus is the God-man, the one who is both God and man. And you say, God can never die. Well, you're right. But Jesus is a man. And as a man, he died. And we don't know exactly how it all works, but we do know that Jesus, being both God and man, the man Christ, he died there on the cross. And I would hope that in further discussions that you would at least try and entertain the idea of what we call the hypostatic union. Let me type it in here for you so you can look it up. The hypostatic union. It's the Christian doctrine that Jesus is both God and man, that under the flesh, so to speak, is the union of the divine and the human nature. This is not a game that we have devised. It is a derived doctrine from Scripture, which has been taught from the first to second centuries on. The biblical documents, a lot of Muslims say that they've been corrupted. They have not been corrupted because the New Testament documents, all that we've uncovered, archaeologically, are 99.5% textually pure. It's just amazing how reliable and how good it is. And so there's no corruption in the text that you would have to say that these things were added or taken away or whatever. It's just not accurate. And you guys should study that as well. But anyway, you said that one man is not enough to carry the sins of mankind. Well, I agree with you. But Jesus is both God and man. And it says in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. That's what it says in 1 Peter 2:24. It says, he bore our sins in his body on the cross. In fact, let me just put that in here. Let me type it up and just copy that in so you can read it for yourself. Right here. This is 1 Peter 2:24. Whoops. I guess I didn't get it. Hold on one sec. Let me try it one more time. There we go. It's 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. The Bible teaches in all the Gospels, in Acts, in Romans, in all the epistles, all over the New Testament, he was the one crucified. And it teaches he bore our sins in his body on the cross. That's what it says. And I can go on to other verses, but let me go back to my notes here. And you also said that little children are born innocent. Well, that's debatable. Even in Christianity, that's debated. There's issues of accountability and things like that. Don't need to get into that, but because it's just a debatable thing even within Christianity, and it doesn't have any bearing on whether or not Jesus is crucified or not. But you did go to 1 Corinthians 15, 41-43, and I'll quote those verses. I think it was right around 41. You quoted 43, I think. At any rate, and I will take a stab in here as well, and then you can read together. Hold on, give me just a little bit. And you mentioned the body, the resurrection. I keep getting PM'd all over the place. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 15:41-43. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body; it is raised an imperishable body. Notice the it. The thing that is sown is the thing that is raised. It is sown a perishable body. It the very same body, is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. What that means, a spiritual body, is that it has been resurrected, the physical body. In fact, Jesus says in 1 John 2:19, he said, destroy this temple, or destroy this body, in 3 days I will raise it up. And they said, you're not even 50 years old, and you're going to raise up a temple? He says, but he was speaking of the temple of his body. And here's that right there. See, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews therefore said it took 46 years to build this temple. You'll raise it up in 3 days? And John the Apostle says, but he was speaking of the temple of his body. So Jesus prophesied that he would die and rise from the dead. What it says. In fact, you say that Jesus can't be God. Well, okay, you can say it. But here's a not too commonly quoted verse in the Old Testament, a prophecy. Zechariah 12:10, this is God speaking. And I will pour out on the house of David, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication, so they will look on me, whom they have pierced. And they will mourn for him, as one mourns for an only son. See, who is the one pierced? Jesus was the one pierced. And God says, they'll look upon me, whom they have pierced. And when Jesus was on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is a quote from Psalm 22. And you've got to remember, Jesus was both divine and human, as the scriptures teach in Colossians 2:9, which I already quoted. For in him dwells all the fullness of deity and bodily. John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14, where it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we can see that Jesus was God in flesh, that's what it says. Now, when he quoted Psalm 22, this is what it says in Psalm 22. Be not far from me, this is a prophecy. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and a roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. That's what happens in the crucifixion. Your bones get ripped out of joint. My heart is like wax, is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, a broken pot. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. He's thirsty. And I was just laying in the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. Dogs was a Jewish term for unbelievers in the Gentiles. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers have encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones, which means they're not broken. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Now, if I were to read that to you without telling you where it came from, you'd think it was New Testament. But that's Old Testament, Psalm 22. And that is way before Jesus was ever crucified. And it was a prophecy that he would be, and that's why he quoted Psalm 22. So, we can see that the Bible does teach that Jesus was crucified. The Bible definitely teaches it. Now, about the idea that his disciples left him and fled, yeah, they did. They saw him being taken by the Romans, and they knew he was going to be tried, and as he prophesied to them that he's going to be crucified. They didn't want any part of that. Crucifixion was horrible. So they fled. They took off. They hid. Yeah, that's right. But remember, John followed closely. He's a disciple that Jesus loved, and he ended up fleeing too. Now, apparently Jesus' mom and Mary were watching the crucifixion. There was a soldier who was also watching the crucifixion. And said, there's no eyewitnesses. It's, well, not true, because otherwise he could have been crucified. If there's no eyewitnesses. I mean, you have to have someone put him on the cross. So there were eyewitnesses. And he said after the resurrection, he said, see my hands and my feet, it is I myself, touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. That's just confirmation that he had risen from the dead. And he ate because it was proof that he had risen from the dead. So he had risen from the dead. That's what the Bible says. Why did he do this? The Bible prophesied that he would in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and he rose from the dead. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. And he rose from the dead to prove who he was, God in flesh, and to prove he had conquered death, and to prove that his word was true. So to deny his crucifixion is to deny the atonement and is to deny anybody's hope of salvation. Jesus bore my sins in his body on the cross, that's what the Bible says, written by those who knew him, who were with him, who saw him with the holes in his hand and feet, as he says in John 20:25-28, he says, put your hand into your finger, into my hand, and and touch these feet. So in other words, see the holes I got here? This is what he said to the eyewitnesses right there. Look, I got holes in my wrists. He'd risen from the dead. The Bible says it. And without that resurrection, there is no hope of salvation. And that's what the gospel is. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And without him, God in flesh, the resurrected Lord, nobody has any hope of salvation because you cannot earn it on your own. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Matt. Now it's time for rebuttal. It's okay, no problem. Now it's time for rebuttal. Brother Isam, can you sign me a sign of the 15 minutes rebuttal?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمد رسول الله اللهم يسر ولا تعسر اللهم يسر ولا تعسر اللهم يسر ولا تعسر هل الصوت واضح دي صوت وين ولا ده شيء الجواب شيء هو اي ثينك يو هير مي وين اوكي
I think right now I can raise my case and the debate is already finished. I don't have to argue with him or rebuttal with him. Why? I tell you what. Because he admits that God Almighty is the living God. God will never die. Two, he admits that the one who died on the cross is a man. And man is not sufficient enough to carry the sin for mankind. So now, the case is finished. I brought to my case. And this is the first question and I answer him. And he said, yes, you're right. God cannot die. And only one man cannot carry the sin of the mankind. He said that. He said it. Then he said, you know, we have to believe it without a proof. He has to believe it without a proof. It's just a blind faith. With all respect, it's a blind faith. Iman Ahmad is a blind faith. Because he said, it's just like that, we have to believe it his way. And that's it. You said that the Old Testament, yes, he did, he admits. You said that the Old Testament teach us that Christ will die on the cross. I tell you, no, you are not saying the truth. Why? Read in the Psalms chapter 91 verse 9 to 16, the whole paragraph about the Christ of God, that God Almighty will save him. Psalms chapter 91 verse 9 to 16. What it says? It says that God Almighty will save him. Let me read it word by word for you. Word by word. And I will show you from the New Testament and Old Testament that Christ, he will not die, but God Almighty will save him from this, that God Almighty will lift him up to him. Okay. Number 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refugee, even the Most High, the habitation, there shall no evil before thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels a charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Comment in verse by verse. The first verse says that the Christ of God, he called God, he asked for God, and he prayed to God to save them. If you read in the New Testament, you found out that the man on the cross, Luke chapter 22 verse 24, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was asked God to save him. One, two. We found out also in Luke 22 verse 42. Jesus praying to God and ask God Almighty to save him from this chain. Luke 22:42 saying, Father, if thou he will and remove this cup from me, it means the cup of this. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Jesus was praying to God Almighty to save him from this. 2, 3. You find out that God Almighty sent the angels to him to strengthen him, to tell him, yes, I am here, I will help you. This is the same thing as you read from Psalm chapter 91, verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all the ways. Where is that? You find that in Luke chapter 22, verse 43. Luke 22, verse 43. It says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven to strengthen him. Appeared an angel from heaven to strengthen. God Almighty sent an angel to strengthen. Okay? Let's go back to Psalms 19, verse now, we go to verse 13, verse 12. They shall bear thee up in their hands. It means the angel will lift up Jesus up to heaven. Let them death their foot against the stone. Okay? Verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. That means I will save him. I will not let him die. I will deliver him. I will set him on high. That means I will lift him up. Because he has known my name. Verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. He will ask God, and God will answer his prayer. Is this true? Yes, it's true. I told you. Luke 22:42. The man in the cross said, God, why are you forsaking me? Matthew 27:46. Matthew 27:46. Also Luke 22:42. Jesus was praying to God and asked God to save him from death. Okay? Now, go back to Psalms chapter 91, verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, save him. I will fix him in life, I will lift him up. Because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. If God will answer his prayer. I will be with him in the trouble. God will save him from trouble. I will deliver him, he saved him from this. And I will honor him, and God really honor him. Look over here. Did God Almighty answer Jesus' prayer? Yes, he did answer Jesus' prayer. What is that? As I told you first, in Luke 22:23, Jesus said, Luke said, and there are a dead an angel into him from heaven. It strengthened him. First, second, if you read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 7. Listen what he says. He says, Who in the days of his flesh? It means Jesus. Who in the days of his flesh? Jesus. When he, it means Jesus, has offered other prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. He was praying to God with tears, with supplication. Why? And to him that was able to save them, it means God, from this, and was heard in that he served. Jesus, when he was alive, he prayed to God, as you read in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, never sinned, not my will, but thine be done. He was praying hard to God Almighty. And listen. And was heard on that he said. It means God Almighty saved him from this. Here, recently, the Jesus was praying to God, and God saved him from this. So you cannot tell me that the Old Testament teaching that the Christ of God will die by him, that's not true. Because according to Psalm chapter 91, verse from 9 to 16, God Almighty will save him from this, God Almighty will lift him up to heaven. Okay. Now, I guess the debate today is not about Jesus God. The debate is not Jesus God. He got off the track. the debate is about crucifixion. Why are you talking about Jesus God? We already had a debate last week. The topic tonight is not Jesus God. The topic tonight is crucifixion. Fact or fiction? Actually, crucifixion is fiction. Now you're telling me that the Bible teaches that Jesus died on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. Actually, it's not the Bible teaching that. It's not. Who's teaching that? Paul, who taught that Jesus died and he resurrected after 3 days. Not Jesus. Where is my group? My group. Read the first, the second letter of Timothy, second letter of Timothy, chapter 2, verse 8. Second letter of Timothy, chapter 2, verse 8. This is what Paul said. Paul, of the seed of Jesus, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. You know what it says, Matt? According to my gospel. To Paul's gospel. It's not Jesus' gospel. It's not Matthew's gospel. Not Luke. Not John. No. It's Paul's gospel. Again, let me say it again. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of Jesus was raised from the dead according to my gospel. The gospel of whom? Paul. Paul was not eyewitness. Paul was not Jesus' disciple. Paul was a Jew. He never see Jesus. He never was eyewitness. He never heard from Jesus. He never listened to Jesus. But he claimed in the way of Damascus he saw a vision of Jesus and he started to preach as Jesus' disciple. And he never heard Jesus. He never listened from Jesus. Actually, what you follow, Matt, you follow the religion of Paul, not Jesus. You follow Paul. Now we go on back to the evidence that Jesus never died, therefore Jesus never resurrected again. Jesus said, as I told you before, he was alive, he was not dead. Jesus was alive. As I told you, when he appeared to the disciples on the upper room, he said, I'm here. I'm not a spirit, it means he's still alive. Second, he found out that also, and the word alive, not resurrected, alive, there's a big difference. Because alive and resurrected, it's not resurrected, it's alive, A-L-I-G-E. Listen, testimony of man around the tomb, the man around the tomb, they testify that Jesus was alive, Luke chapter 24, verse 4 and 5, that people said he was alive. The testimony of angels, the angels said he was alive, not dead, not resurrected, alive. Luke, verse 24, chapter 24, verse 23. Angel who had said he was alive, not dead, not resurrected, alive. Mary Magdalene testified he was alive, not dead, not resurrected, alive. Mark chapter 16, verse 11. The disciples testified he was alive. Mark chapter 16, verse 11. He was not dead, he was not resurrected, he was alive. There is a big difference between dead and alive. Luke, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 3, he says, he was alive, not dead, not resurrected, alive. There is a big difference between dead and alive. How many minutes so far I have? How many minutes I have? So now, before I give you the mic, now, first, you admit that God cannot die? You admit that a man is not enough to carry the sin of mankind. So I'm asking you, who died in the cross? If you're saying God cannot die, if you're saying the man is not enough to carry the sin of mankind, so who died in the cross? So what does that mean? It means crucifixion is a hoax. It's a false word. It's a hoax. It's false word. No, because if you're saying the one who died in the cross is God and a man in the same time, so you're saying God is dead, and God cannot die. God will never die. He, in Jeremiah 10:10, the Lord, our Lord, is the true God. He is the living God and everlasting God. So God cannot die. If you say man died on the cross, no, as you admitted that man is not enough to carry the sin of man, because man, he cannot carry the sin of man. So if you say, no, a man and a God in the same plan, so you mean God dying the cross? Because it's nonsense, it doesn't mean anything. So actually all this is a hoax. Crucifixion is a hoax. Crucifixion is the teaching of Paul for his crucifixion, not Jesus. And with all respect to you, all the Christians that don't follow Jesus, that follow Paul, will let me read the verse again because it's very important. The second letter of Timothy, chapter 2, verse 8, Paul said, remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of Jesus, was raised from death, according to my gospel. Gospel of whom? Gospel of Paul. Paul, he was not Jesus, he was not the title of Jesus, he never see Jesus, he never talked to Jesus, he was bringing the Christian to the Jews so they can punish them. So Paul is not credible. Is not eyewitness, is not credible. Tafara Mike is yours, give him a minute, go ahead.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. كان باقي لك عدة ثواني لأن الحمد لله نتحلق قبل أن أطلب لك ثاني. أوكي بس before I give the mic to Mr. Matt, there are some people who are trying to text me in private and I'm not able to reply to them because they're accepting messages from people who are in Bosnia. ترى يا اخوان في بعض الناس معطين رسائل ولا استطيع الرد عليهم لانهم يعني لا يقبلوا رسائل الا من الاشخاص المضافين عندهم فلا استطيع ان ارد عليهم عندي كثير من الفرايفت مفتوح اوكي مستر مات مايك يو
اوكي I hope you can hear me okay can you hear me all right just type in yes I'll make sure my see as loudly within reason as I can Wissam, okay, thank you very much. Wissam, I'm surprised. You apparently are not listening very clearly or very intently to what it is I've been saying. And you say that I say things that I do not say. You take part of what I say and misrepresent me. I did not say that Jesus was not God. You said I said that. I'm taking these notes down as you're speaking, so I wrote this down. I did not say that. I do not say that. So for you to say I said Jesus was not God is wrong, and it's a misrepresentation of what I've said. So again, I did not say that Jesus was not God. I did say a mere man would not be enough to pay for the sin of the world. I said, yeah, you were right there. A mere man cannot. Jesus was not a mere man. I think that he is the God-man. He is both God and man at the same time. I have been telling you this over and over and over. In one person, we have both God and man at the same time. So Jesus is not merely a man. So if you were to say to me that I teach he's only a man, that's not true. If you were to say to anybody that I said that he's only a man and not God, that would not be true. I said he is not merely a man. A mere man cannot pay for the sins of the world. But God in flesh can, and that's who Jesus is. He is God in flesh. So I hope I've made that clear to you. I've had to repeat that several times here, and you continue to say the opposite of what it is I said. Now, you said that I said that Christ, wait, I'm trying to read my notes. You said that I said that Christ will die on the cross. You said that I was telling, you said I was not telling the truth. I hope you mean that I was not being a liar, but that I just was not representing the truth properly. I hope that's what you meant. And you then went to Psalm 91, but I have never understood Psalm 91 to be a messianic psalm, a prophetic psalm. In fact, what it is a psalm about the security of people who trust in the Lord God. That's what it's about. Satan quoted this psalm to try and tempt Jesus. When Satan said, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways, they will bear you up on your hands lest you strike your foot against a stone. So Satan at that point had been trying to get Jesus to jump into the tower, and he wouldn't do it. He just quoted scripture instead. But this is, Satan quoted this psalm to try and say that Jesus was not divine. And then you went to Luke 22:42, not my will, but your will be done. That's because Jesus was both God and man. He has a human nature, and he did not want to go through the crucifixion. He was a man, which proves he was completely fully a man. What really amazes me is that you quoted Matthew 27:46, and you quoted it. You quoted Matthew 27:46. Let me paste it in. Matthew 27:46, this is what you quoted, right here. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Which is a quote from Psalm 22, the prophecy of his crucifixion. But see, you quoted this to say he's not God because he's crying out to God, but he actually quoted this while he's on the cross being crucified. So you're quoting a verse where Jesus is being crucified to demonstrate that he's not being crucified. It's not a real good technique to do that. Then you went on, you quoted Hebrews 5:7-10. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered and hadn't been made perfect. He became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God the high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. All right, that's fine. Of course, Hebrews 5, Hebrews 5-7, the chapters, talk about Jesus being crucified, and he was being crucified as the high priest sacrifice. So the whole assumption of the whole chapters there, of which you quote a couple of verses, is that Jesus Christ is crucified. You should go through and read it, because he was a high priest sacrifice, which is why he was baptized, in order to enter into the Melchizedek priesthood, in order to be the high priest sacrifice, which is, I think, according to Hebrews 6:20 and 7:25. So, you are the one who said that Jesus could not be God because God could not die. You brought this up since you began the debate. You said that I was the one bringing this up about Jesus last week and being God. You opened the debate first, and you said that God could not die on the cross. That means I have to defend now that Jesus is God in flesh, which I did very well last week. And you ignored the four verses I brought up about that as well. But it does say here in the Bible that he is God in flesh, both God and man. I keep telling you that. This is what the Bible teaches. And then you quoted Paul, where Paul said, according to my gospel. And then you said that it was not Jesus' gospel, but Paul's gospel. Okay, you know, Paul simply said, this is my gospel. But you know what? When I preach the gospel, I say, it's my gospel. It's the gospel that I put my life under. It's the gospel that I believe in. It's mine. I believe in it. I trust it. That's it. I'm telling you my gospel. He thinks so that his is different than Jesus, because Jesus had prophesied that he would die and be raised from the dead in John 2:19-21. And you yourself quoted Jesus on the cross while he was being crucified. So it cannot be a different gospel than what Jesus had taught. So if you don't want Paul to be the same gospel teacher as Jesus, why would you quote him as saying that it was his gospel, and then why would you quote Matthew 27:46, where Jesus is on the cross being crucified, as an attempt to show he's not being crucified? That's amazing to me. You then said that the angels said that Jesus was alive and not dead, not resurrected. That's what you said. You said, the angels at the tomb said Jesus is alive, not dead, and not resurrected. Well, Luke 24:6, the angel said, he's not here, but he has risen. Now, that means he's risen. What's he been risen? From the dead, obviously. So you said that he has not been resurrected, but they said that I've been resurrected, but they said he had. They said, yes, he has risen. Remember how they were on. Let me read it again. Luke 24:6-7. He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So you said the angels, you use the angels as an authority to try and get people to believe that Jesus was not resurrected. But the angels said that he was risen and that he had been crucified and that he had risen on the third day, just as Jesus had said. So you quote the scripture And you claimed that the angel said he didn't, when in reality, they did. So, again, you've missed it here. You quoted Matthew 27:46, where Jesus was being crucified, to say he wasn't being crucified. And then you quote Luke 24:6, where the angel said he wasn't being crucified or resurrected, when it clearly said he did. So I don't know which you want to go by, or how you want to do this. But the Bible teaches he was crucified, the Bible teaches he died, and the Bible teaches he was risen. Jesus prophesied it himself in John 2:19-21. It was prophesied that he would be crucified in Psalm 22, written about 1,000 years before he was born. Zechariah 12:10, God says, "I look upon me whom they have pierced." And that is a prophecy about God being the one who was pierced, the divinity. And it was an interesting switch in persons where it says, "They look upon me whom they have pierced, yet they mourn for him as one mourns for an only child," demonstrating that Jesus is both God and man. So Paul teaches the crucifixion and the resurrection. Peter does too. Jesus did, and the angels did. And we see that Jesus, after the resurrection, showed him his hands and his feet with holes in them. He says to Thomas, "Put your hand into my side." That's the wound he had on the cross. He says, "Put your finger into my hand." That means he has a nail print in his hand. He was up there. He was crucified. Jesus' own words. He's crucified. The Psalm. You're simply not believing Jesus. You're not believing him. You quote him against himself. And you quote the angels incorrectly. Jesus was crucified. His proof was that he had holes in his feet, in his hands, in his side. He said, "Look, see, it's me." You know, to me it's amazing. To me it's amazing, but 1 Corinthians says that the cross is to their foolishness. It says that those who don't believe it and don't want it, to them it's foolishness. He says, and they're the ones perishing. You cannot, this is what the whole issue is of the death, burial, and resurrection. This is why it happened. Because nobody can earn their own salvation. Nobody can be forgiven of their sins because they're good or they do good works, because we aren't good. We're sinners. We offend God. We offend God. It's a holy and infinite offense because God is holy and infinite. And we, this is my turn. And this, hold on, Peter, forgive me. Stop peering me, folks. Come on. Okay, sorry. People peering me. He did this in order to bear our sins in his body on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24. That's what it says. So the crucifixion is, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ is what's called the gospel. For you to say it didn't happen is to actually undermine the very core and the very heart of what Christianity is, what Jesus came to do, what I am speaking about, what all the apostles taught, what the Bible is about. That is the most important thing. And you're denying it. This can't happen. I trust Christ who said he was crucified and risen and said, "Look and see my hands and my feet. Touch me and see. I've risen from the dead." And the angels who testified that he'd also risen. And he's on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Quoting the prophetic Psalm 22 that says that his hands and his feet were pierced. And he quotes it while he's on the cross. It goes without a doubt. Jesus was crucified. But the cross is of them who are perishing foolishness. I'll trust the Bible and my risen Lord. I have no other hope but him and Jesus. I'm done. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Matt. Now it's time, I think, 15 minutes to Hisham and 15 minutes to Yoreen. Just a minute. Let me confirm. Hisham, can you confirm the timing, please? I'm not sure about it. Mic is yours.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, we have 15 minutes to hear, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now, he said the angel said he was not alive, he was resurrected. Even, when he could be again,
I'm very sorry to Brother Al-Sham. I'm very sorry for the rigor. I'm just asking you because I'm not aware of the timing. Is it now is it 15 minutes for you and 15 minutes for him? So I start counting. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry, Brother Al-Sham. Mic is yours, so I start again. Thank you.
You said the angel said he was not alive, he was resurrected. Read it. Okay, read Luke chapter 24, verse 23. The angel said, angel who had said he was alive. Luke 24, 23. The people also, testimony of man around the tomb. Luke chapter 24, verse 4 and 5. The people said he was alive. 3. Mary Magdalene testified he was alive. Mark 16:11. The disciples testified he was alive. Mark 16:11. Jesus testified he was alive. He was not dead. He was not a spirit. If at the end of Luke, when he addressed the disciples in the other room, whom they had at the last supper, he said, I'm here. I'm not a spirit because the spirit has no flesh and bones. Let's go back now. I would like to go something very important here. Everybody knows the story of Jonah. Jonah and the witch. Everybody knows the story about Jonah and the witch. The Jews come to Jesus and ask him about a miracle to prove he was the Messiah. Listen what Jesus said to them. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. The interpreters of the scribes of the Pharisees answered saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seek for a sign, and there shall no sign be given to you but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights and the wheel being, who shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So when the Jews come to Jesus and ask him to give him a sign to prove he was the Christ of God, Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the wheat 3 days and 3 nights, the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. And he said, this is the only sign he will give it to them. Alright, let's see. Everybody knows Prophet Jonah. Everyone knows Prophet Jonah. A Muslim, a Jew, a Christian. Everybody knows that God Almighty sent him to a people, but he took away God and took a book and was a storm, and he asked the people to throw him in the sea. I'm asking everybody in the room, when he asked them to throw him in the sea, Jonah was dead or alive. When they threw him in the sea, he was dead or alive. He was alive. When the wheel eat him up, he was dead or alive. He was alive. He was not dead. He was alive. And the belly of the fish, Jonah was making supplication to God. He was praying to God Almighty. He was dead or alive, alive. Because nobody did can make a supplication for God. He was alive. So when the wheel vomited him on the sea, on the shore, when he vomited him in the shore, he was dead or alive. He was alive. The man was alive. When the throne of the sea, he was alive. When he was in the middle of the fish, he was alive. And when the wheel vomited him in the sea, he was alive. The three miracles, it's not one miracle. According to your fiction, your Christianity, Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus was in the grave, dead for 3 days and 3 nights. 3 days for according to Jonah was alive, Jesus was dead. So which one now I believe, you or Jesus? If Jesus said saying that he will be alive or he will be dead? No, actually, if you compare both of them, you found out that Jesus actually prophesied he will be alive, not dead. Because Jonah was alive and Jesus was dead. According to this, but actually this prophecy, he was a book to you, he was alive. And he said he's the only book from Jesus to prove he was the Messiah, the Christ of God. Now he's telling you, no,
is the time factor. Look to the time factor. Alright, we're going to look to the time factor. You said, everybody knows that Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Look to Jesus, according to all Christians, in all earth, Christians, they believe Jesus died in 5 days. The Good Friday, ask any Christian, what Good Friday? They feel in the day when Jesus died. Alright? So he died in 5 days. They put him in a grave in 5 days. Risk count how many days and how many nights. Jesus was in the grave Friday night. Friday night, one night. Jesus was in the grave Saturday, the whole Saturday. 1 day, one night. Jesus was in the grave Friday, Saturday night. So 2 nights and 1 day. 2 nights and 1 day. 2 nights and 1 day. But it turned out in the Bible, they said Mary Magdalene, Sunday morning, she went to the grave to look for him, but she didn't find him. So Sunday morning he was not there. So how many days he was there? 1 day, 2 nights. How many days was Jonah in the belly of the fish? 3 days and 3 nights. Jonah was alive. Jesus was dead. Jonah was alive. Jesus was dead. Jonah was 3 nights and 3 days. Jesus was 1 day, 2 nights. See now, according to your language, is this like Jonah or unlike Jonah? This like Jonah or unlike Jonah? Jesus was dead, he was alive. Jesus was dead 1 night, 1 day, 2 days, or 1 day, 2 nights. Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights. He was like Jonah or unlike Jonah? Of course, unlike Jonah. And it's the only miracle Jesus will give to prove he was the Christ and so you want to prove crucifixion from them. That's the first thing. He said that, he didn't say that Jesus is a man, he said Jesus is a God man. If you say again and again, if you say Jesus is a God man, it's still you saying God man, God died on the cross. If you say Jesus is a God man, it means God and man at the same time. It means still God dying the cross. But he's a God and a man at the same time. And I'm telling you again and again that God Almighty will never die, and I will keep repeating it every time you give me the mic. Jeremiah 10:10, the Lord our God is one Lord, a true Lord God. He is living God and everlasting God. God will never die. So still, if you say Jesus is man and God, it means birth to me and God, it means it's birth to God die on the cross, I'm telling you, no, God cannot die. Alright? How many minutes left I have? How many minutes I have? Now you're telling me that all of us sinners, and nobody will enter heaven, okay, great. You're telling me everybody's sinner. I'm telling you, no. You know Christ, not everybody's sinner. Who said that? Jesus. What did Jesus said that? I told you again, I repeat again. Jesus said every child born innocent. Every child born innocent. What did Jesus said that? Matthew chapter 19 verse 14. 19:14. Jesus said not. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. It means children born anything that do not carry the sin of Adam. It means crucifixion is false. Nobody born sinner. Who said that? Jesus. I trust you. I took your word of the word or word of Jesus. No, I took the word of Jesus. Jesus said, every child born anything and the kingdom is called his children. And nobody carries the sin of Adam. Jesus said that. Now you're with me, everybody going to heaven, not by his work, only by, you're telling me that everybody going to heaven, not by his work, only by crucifixion. Because I tell you now, he said that, the other said what he said is Paul. Paul said this, not Jesus. Jesus never says that. Paul said that, not Jesus. Paul said that we say by grace. If you believe Jesus Christ, when you say you will be saved, not once. Who said it? Paul, not Jesus.
But I'm telling you, Jesus sent us this. Listen what Jesus said. How you enter heaven. Look in Matthew chapter 5 verse 20. Matthew chapter 5 verse 20. Look at what Jesus said. For I say unto you, that if today your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus telling you that the only way to enter heaven by the righteousness, by good deeds. Matthew 5:20. So I say unto you that exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. 1:2. Jesus also said, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, when a man came to Jesus and to him, good master, what can I do to enter heaven? Listen the question, what he said the question. He said, how can I enter heaven? Listen the answer of Jesus Christ, 19:16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing I shall do that I may have eternal life. And he said unto her, why thou could be good, there is none good but God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandment. The only way to enter heaven is by good deeds, by follow the commandment, not by contradiction. Jesus never did that. This is not the word of Jesus. Also look in Matthew chapter, hold on a minute, please, just one, chapter 5, we had this already, chapter 7 verse 22, chapter 7 verse 22, listen what Jesus said, judge not, Matthew chapter 7 verse 22, judge not, that you be not judged, for with that judgment, you judge, you shall be judged, and with what mission you need, it shall measure to you again. It's very clear. If what you do, it will come back to you. Whatever you do, it will come back to you. Has nothing to do with contradiction. Who said that? Jesus said that. Jesus also said, the only one forgives sin is God Almighty. Nobody else. Only God forgives. Nobody. Read Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, the river, bring you, our Father, which are in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, there will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread, and forgive our debts, as we forgive the debts of our brethren. Here, Jesus teaches us, so everybody knows about this, with the Lord's Prayer. Jesus teaches the disciples to go to God Almighty and ask God for forgiveness, not anybody else. Ask God to forgive their sin. So what is it saying? Have not been for especially that we can believe. We forgive our debtors and lead us unto no temptation and deliver us from evil. For is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive man their trespass, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. So Jesus tells him over here, if you forgive people their trespass against you, God Almighty will forgive you. But if you forgive man their trespass, neither will your Father forgive your trespass. So Jesus very, very clear in plain English teaches the disciples to ask God Almighty to forgive their sin. Because God, the only one that forgives sin, has nothing to do with crucifixion. Mighty God.
Assalamu alaikum. Now it's Mr. Matt, Mighty God.
Alright, thank you. he began by saying that he was alive. He goes, well, he's alive, as if being alive means he wasn't resurrected. But that's why he was alive, because he was resurrected, just as the angel said he was. Remember Luke 24:6, you quoted this yourself. You quoted this here. You said he's not risen. The angels wouldn't say he'd risen, but it says right here that they did. He's not here, but he is risen. That's what the angel said. Remember how he spoke to you while he was in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day raised again. So this is what Jesus said. They're saying that Jesus said this, and I believe it. And this is why he'd risen. This is why he was alive, because after he had died, he had risen from the dead. That's why. You went on to quote Jonah and the whale, and spent some time on that. That's fine. Jonah was alive. Okay. He may or may not have been alive in the belly of the whale. We don't know. But if he was alive, great. But Jonah is a prophetic representation of the reality of Christ's death and resurrection. Just as the animals in the Old Testament were they were sacrificed. This was as the sin to be put on the animals, and then they'd be sacrificed. This was a representation of the true sacrifice to come. It doesn't mean that that Jesus was an animal. It means he was God in flesh, of course, and as I've already established. But that's all it is. Jonah is just a representation of the real crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection to come. He said Jonah was alive. Great. He was alive. No problem. Jesus was alive too. And the reason he was alive was because he'd risen from the dead. Just as the angel said. Just as Jesus had prophesied his death. Just as the Bible says. I don't know why you don't want to believe it. Well, actually, I do know why. You can't. If you did believe it, if it had stopped being a Muslim. You keep saying that God will not die. Okay, but again, you fail to understand what I've explained, this thing called the hypostatic union. Right here, you look it up on the internet. Just search hypostatic union, and you'll see that the Christian church is taught that in the one person of Christ are two natures, both divine and human. The Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. Both God and man, both divine and human. We do not know exactly how this works. I mean, sorry, I hate to admit it, but we don't know how it works that Jesus could be both God and man. But he did do this, as the Bible teaches, and he died on the cross for us. And because Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law, perfectly fulfilled it, he did everything right. There was no sin found in him. He was perfect. Well, because of that, then we know that the sacrifice he made was acceptable to the Father. Nobody's ever been able to walk a sinless life. Just Jesus. I mean, he walked on water. He raised people from the dead. He changed water into wine. He fed thousands of people with little fish and bread. He cured people who were sick. He cast out demons. This is incredible stuff. And he said, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins, quoting God talking to Moses when he says, you shall say to the Son of Israel, I am that I am. This is what Jesus said. This is all wrapped up in who he was and what he said. If he did not rise from the dead, then we Christians are really to be pitied. If he did not rise from the dead, we're in trouble. And it's a shame. So he is the one who's crucified. And the crucifixion deals specifically with the nature of who Christ is, and his resurrection deals with specifically with who he is and what he had done. What he had done was fulfill the law and live from the dead. This is why he was raised. This is why it's so important to us. This is why he had to be both God and man at the same time. This is why he was there. Now, you went on and you said something about how long would Jesus be in the grave. Okay. You know, there's debates on that, some issues. Okay, fine. I've done some research on it, and I'm not going to repeat all of the research here about how long he's in the grave. You can go to that link right there for an analysis. But basically, the solution is simple. We run it according to Jewish custom, any part of the day, however small, is included as part of a full day in the reckoning. Okay. You're in the Matthew 7:1-2, do not judge lest you be judged, for in while you judge, you'll be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And you said, what you do will come back to you. It has nothing to do with crucifixion. Okay, I'm not sure why you brought it up, but alright. And you said only God can forgive sins. I agree with you. Only God can forgive sins, and Jesus forgave sins. In Luke 5:20, and seeing their faith, he said, friends, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus is there doing it. Why? It's because he has all authority in heaven and earth. Matthew 28:19-20. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. All authority. This is what Jesus says about himself. Jesus, Isu, says, all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. So, I believe it. I believe what Jesus said. And because he has all the authority, he forgives sins. And I go to him, as he said in Matthew 11:27 and Luke 10:22, he forgives, he says, come to me. You know, why would he say that if he wasn't God? But anyway, you know, I'll just get back to this little bit about the crucifixion. You say he wasn't crucified, but yet you've already quoted verses attributed to Jesus while he's being crucified. Matthew 27:46, you said that, you quoted the verse. I'll put it in here again. Right here. Eli, Eli, Rama Sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You brought this up in reference to Jesus being God or not. Why would you say this if he's God? Well, as I said, quoting Psalm 22. But you quote a verse where he's being crucified. That's what the whole debate is about. Was Jesus crucified? Well, yeah. While he's on the cross, he says this, and you quote it. While he's on the cross. So, it's amazing. And Jesus says in John 2:19-21, he says this, destroy this temple, 3 days I will raise it up. But he's speaking of the temple of his body. And then again, even the angels bear witness that he had risen from the dead, that he was crucified, as you can see right there. I'm really kind of at a loss of words, not to be able to answer each and every objection you might raise, but simply, this is how you cannot see so clearly that the scriptures teach he was crucified. See, there it is, right there. The angels themselves say he was crucified, and that he had risen from the dead. And you yourself quote a verse from Jesus while he's being crucified, and you say he wasn't crucified. It just doesn't make sense to me. So, the Bible teaches he's crucified, without a doubt. It does. You just can't believe it. Not much more to say. That's what it says. So, there you go. And not much more to say. Your mic. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Matt. Michael Deal, the brother of the son, 15 minutes.
The congregation about the crucifixion proves that crucifixion never happened. The crucifixion. The Bible contradicts itself. Let me share with you. When? In Mark 15:25. What time they crucified him? It said it was the third hour and they crucified him. What hour? What time they crucified him? The third hour. John 19:14. We found out that Jesus was with the Roman ruler, Caesar, till the 6th hour. He was not dead yet. He was not in the cross yet. Again, Mark 15:25. It was the 3rd hour and they crucified him. But look in John 19:14. It was the 6th hour and he was not crucified yet. 3 or 6, Matt. When you come, you answer. 3 or 6. 3rd hour, 6 hour. 2. Who carries the cross? Who carries the cross? Matthew 27:32. Simon carries the cross. Who carries the cross? Simon. John 19:17. Who carries the cross? Jesus. Matt, who carries the cross? Simon of Jesus. When you come, you answer me. First, Mark 15:21. They put Jesus on a cross. On what? Cross. Jesus.
I'm so sorry, Brother Sam. Mr. Mark, he's texting us. I don't know. There is a change in the plan, or I'm not aware of the plan. Talk to Mr. Mark and tell us what is the situation.
Now, the formality, as we said, this is the last 15 minutes. After that, you come back for 15 minutes and it's finished, okay? You have 15 minutes after me, and that's it. Okay, Matt? Agree? This is the last 15 minutes, okay? Yeah, yes, after that. Oh, okay, good. Yeah, Kafwara, Ibda, Mirwati, Kafwara. Ibda, Kafwara. Okay, we do that. What time they crucify him? In Mark chapter 15:25. They crucify him the third hour. It was the third hour, and they crucified him. In John chapter 19:14, it was the sixth hour, and he was not crucified yet. So when you come, you tell me, Matt, tell me, what time they crucified him? 3 or 6? Second, who carries the cross? Who carries the cross? In Matthew chapter 27, verse 32, Simon carried the cross. Also in Luke 23:26, in Mark chapter 15:21, it turns out that Simon carried the cross. In John 19:17, Jesus carried the cross. Who carried the cross, man? Simon or Jesus? When you come, answer me. When they put Jesus, they put him on a cross or they put him in a tree? In Mark chapter 15, verse 21, they said they put Jesus on cross. In the first letter of Jesus, chapter 2, verse 24, they put Jesus on a tree. So when you come back, tell me, they put him on a cross or they put him in a tree? You answer this. After that, also, also, the man on the cross, what he drink? In Mark 15:23, they give him wine mingled with myrrh to drink. Wine. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 34, they give him vinegar mingled with gold to drink. So which one? According to Mark, they give him wine. According to Matthew, they give him vinegar. According to Mark, the wine was mingled with myrrh. According to Matthew, the vinegar was mingled with gold. Which one? Will you come and answer me? The two kids was crucified with him. The two kids was crucified with him. Okay. Did both of them insult him or only one insult him? See? In Matthew chapter 27, Matthew 27, verse 44, he found out the two kids who were crucified with him were insulting him. Both of them were insulting him. But in Luke chapter 23, verse 39, Luke 23:39, we found out only one thief was insulting him. One, not two. Okay? So now, according to Matthew 27:44, two of them was insulting them. According to Luke 23:39, only one insulting him. And when you come, you can answer me. Which one? How many one was insulting? The two thieves or only one thief? How Judah died? Judah, the one who betrayed Jesus. How is that? In Matthew 27, chapter 5, Matthew 27:5, Judah went and hanged himself. He killed himself. Commit suicide. Judah went and hanged himself. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 18. 118, Acts of the Apostles, 118. Judah failed his wrong and dropped asunder in his midst, and all his bowels fell out. That is interesting. I'm sorry, I'm speak Arabic, I'm sorry. According to Matthew, chapter 27:5, Judah killed himself to miss the fight. According to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1:18, he died normally. He didn't end it. Matthew or Acts, When you come, answer this question. Okay? Now we go. Who visits the grave? Who visits the grave? John disagrees with Mark, disagrees with Luke, disagrees with Matthew. John chapter 20, verse 1, they say, the visitor to Jesus' grave, and Mary Magdalene only, Mary Magdalene only. Who visits the grave? Only Mary Magdalene. It is in John. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, Matthew 28, 1. Who visits the grave? Mary Magdalene and another Mary. He adds another one, another Mary. Okay. Luke, contact the book of them. He said, Luke 24:10. Luke 24:10. Mary Magdalene and another Mary and Judas. He adds Judas. In Mark chapter 16, verse 1, 16:1. Mary Magdalene and another Mary, and he adds the third one, Salome. So the four Gospels contradict each other. They not attend the difference. In John they said Mary Magdalene only. In Mark he said Magdalene and another Mary. In Luke he said Mary Magdalene and another Mary. And add another one, Jonah. In Mark he said Mary Magdalene and another Mary. And take off Jonah and another Salome. It's completely different. They are not the same. They contradict each other. Each Gospel contradict each other. And all of this about crucifixion. All of this about crucifixion. How many angels? Yes. Now we're going to the angels. Who was beside the grave? Who was beside the grave? Who was beside the grave? A man or angel? How many of them? Okay? Listen here. John 20:12. One woman, two angels at the grave of Jesus. One woman, so how many angels? Two. Matthew 28:2. Two women, two, one angel. Luke 24:3. Mark 16:5. Two women, two one man. What is the difference between the four Gospels? The four Gospels contradict each other. The four Gospels is different. They are not the same. One, John said one woman. Matthew said two women. Luke said three women. Not three women. Mark said three women. John said two angels. Matthew said one angel. Luke said two men, not only two men. Mark said one man. Which one would leave? I'm asking you, which one would leave? John 2:1 woman, Matthew 2 woman, Luke 3 woman, Mark 2 woman. John said there are two angels. Matthew said one angel. Luke said two angels, two men, not only two men. Mark said one man. Which one would leave? They contradict each other. I still have time. Katora, you jump on the mic. I still have time, right? Tell me how many time I have left to leave. Okay, when Mary Magdalene, how much? How many? When Mary Magdalene went to the grave, 7 minutes grave, Allah Akbar. When Mary Magdalene went to the grave, okay, go ahead. Luke 24:9, they said Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus and John returned back from the grave and told the 11 apostles all of what they saw. So according to Luke, Mary Magdalene and another man, after they went to the grave, they told the 11 apostles what happened. Alright? Grave. Grave, no problem. Look now in Mark chapter 16:8, they said, Mary Magdalene and another Mary and Salome. He asked another one, Salome. Salome was not in Luke. Returned back from the grave and did not tell anyone anything because they were afraid. Hear this? They did not tell anyone anything because they were afraid. Which one would leave? Would leave Luke or would leave Mark? Luke said, Mary Magdalene another Mary. Mark said, Mary Magdalene another Mary and asked Salome. Luke said, they tell they told the Rebbe Abbasus. Mark said, they do not tell anybody because they were scared. Mark, which one is a blue mask? Which one mask? Which one? Which one? You tell me which one when you get your fear mask. Yes, it's about everything about crucifixion. This group was out of doubt. This group was out of doubt that there was no eyewitness. There was no eyewitness, as I told you before. Read Mark 14:30. Mark 14:30. They all forsake him and flee. They all forsake him, presented him, and flee, and they run away. They said there was no eyewitness. That's why you found out all this introduction, because there was no eyewitness for the crucifixion. It never happened. Also, if you read your book, you found out that the priest, the high priest, was in doubt. He was in doubt. He was not sure that the man who arrested him, the high priest, he was in doubt that the man that arrested him was Jesus Christ. He was in doubt. He was not sure. Where I got this from? Look, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 63. Matthew 26, 63. The high priest asked the man who arrested him, are you Christ the Son of God? He said, Are you Christ the Son of God? Why he asked him that? Because he was not sure of him. He wanted to be sure. And he asked him, he told him, I swear by God, the living God, to answer me, are you Christ the Son of God? Listen what he said. He said, thou hast said. He didn't say yes, he did in Matthew chapter 26 to 36. He said, you said. He didn't say yes, I am. He said, you said. He didn't say yes, I am Jesus, I am Christ. He didn't say that. Also, the same thing he repeated again. In Matthew, in Luke 22. 22:67. Also the high priest asked the man who arrested him, tell him by the living God, are you Christ? He asked him, and tell him, swear by the living God, are you Christ? Listen what he said to him. Are you the Christ? Still up. And he said to him, listen the man what the man said. Not Jesus, the man who arrested him. And he said to him, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Why? Because the man was not Jesus. He said, if I tell you the truth, you will not believe me, and you will not let me go. Why did not let him go? Because the man was not Jesus. It's somebody else. And there was in doubt. They were not sure that this man is Jesus Christ. According to the Bible, nobody carries the sin of anybody. According to your Bible, nobody will carry the sin of anybody. Who said that? In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16, every man held account for his own deeds. We have nothing to do with Adam. Everybody held account for his own deeds. Deuteronomy 24, 16. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. The soul that sin shall die. The father will not carry the sin of the son. The son will not carry the sin of the father. Everybody held the account for his own deeds. We have nothing to do with the sin of Adam. Everybody held the account for his own deeds. Who said that? The Bible said that. The soul that sin shall die. The son will not carry the sin of the father. The father must carry the sin of the son. Everybody will hold account for his own deeds. So according to your own Bible, that everybody will hold account for his own deeds. It means crucifixion is fiction. From my to you.
Thank you, brother Rishan. Mr. Mark, mic is yours.
All right. I didn't know this was a Bible contradictions debate. What I'll do is try and answer some of the ones that were presented. You mentioned this one at this URL, which are the crucifying. Most probably John was using the Roman measurement of time when dealing with the crucifixion. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, for the most part, used the Hebrew system of measuring a day from sundown to sunup. The Roman system was from the midnight to midnight. John wrote his gospel in Ephesus, the capital of the Roman province in Asia, and therefore, in regard to the civil day, he would most likely employ the Roman reckoning. You can read that right there for that. So that's why they had different measurement times, because Rome was Roman, Rome was Jewish, that's all. Who carried the cross up on the Bible? The cross up? Well, both Jesus and Simon. See, you have to understand what a contradiction is. A contradiction exists when one statement means that another statement is not possible. That's what it means. That's what a contradiction is. And a contradiction occurs when you cannot have A be both A and not A at the same time. You cannot have something be itself and not itself at the same time. That would be a contradiction. If it said that Jesus was not crucified, and if it said that Jesus was crucified, that would be a contradiction, because that would be flat out a contradiction. If it said that Jesus carried the cross, and it also said that Simon carried the cross, it's not a contradiction, because they both could have done the same thing. In fact, that's what happened. Because Jesus had been beaten very severely. 39 lashes, he was in bad shape. And a lot of people died during that process. Well, okay, fine. He was carrying the cross, the cross beam. And as he was going, he stumbled, fell, couldn't take it anymore. It was common that would happen in crucifixion. So what the Romans would do would be to force a bystander to pick up the cross, the cross beam, and carry it the rest of the way. And that's what happened. Simon did that very thing. They
Mr. Matt, you left the mic. I stopped the timing. Okay? Mic is yours.
Well, thank you for that. I apologize. Things took off the key. I'm not sure I was able to back up one. Both Simon carried the cross and Jesus, and I put the URL in there. And I was stating that up there. All I could do is read it. Jesus was carrying it. He stumbled. He fell. He was too weak from the beating he'd already taken. And then the Romans enlisted someone else to carry it the rest of the way. Did they put Jesus on a cross or a tree? The tree and the cross are just interchangeable words for the same thing. It's not a big deal, because the tree goes up and has branches that go out with the cross, so they would use it in a poetic sense. Was it wine or vinegar that was given to him? Well, you can go read the answer to that right here. There's that one. I've written about that. So most probably both gall and myrrh were added to the vinegar. The text does not explicitly state it, nor does it exclude the possibility. Nevertheless, the ancients used to infuse myrrh into wine to give it a more agreeable fragrance and flavor. This means that it was quite possible that the vinegar already had myrrh in it and would be expected among the Roman soldiers, and gall was added later. Each writer focused on a different aspect of what was in it. How did Judas die? Well, that's very simple. He went, and here's the answer to that one right there. He went and hung himself, and then as he was hanging, gradually the rope broke and he fell down and his guts burst out. Notice it doesn't say he died by having his bowels and his guts fall out. It says he hung himself, and then it says later, another verse, that he his body fell down. So that's not a contradiction. This says what happened. Who visited the grave? I wasn't sure about which one you're talking about, but I tried to find a reference to that. There's talk about the there. I've got a lot of chronology charts on my website that answer these questions. There was no contradiction. See, basically, the first one to see Jesus after his resurrection was Mary, Mary Magdalene, as it says in Mark 16:9. Then the others saw them him afterward. The context of the verses doesn't present any problem when you read them in context. Then it makes sense. How many angels were there? Well, if you were to go to, I'm just going to go through this quickly, trying to respond. If you go to that URL, you'd see how many angels were there. There was no discrepancy at all. An angel of the Lord moved the stone and was sitting upon it on that side. The two men, which were actually two angels, there, it says in Mark 16:5, presents the only potential issue, and it isn't one at all. Logically, if there are two angels in a tomb, then there is at least one there also, because if there's two, that means there's at least one. So they went to learn about one or saw one, everyone was there. If I would see that there was one angel outside and two on the inside of the tomb, so no big deal. And let's see, here's the reference to this one, right here. The next question is answered here. Who went to the tomb, I think it was? Did Mary and Mary Magdalene tell what they saw? That's right, that's what that reference said, answered that. The best explanation is that the women initially said nothing and then later told the disciples what they saw. It would make sense that they were frightened and didn't know what to do or say, but then later, of course, they spoke up. The John 20:18 account is chronologically later than the other references and is not relevant in the difficulty here. So there's that. Let's see, Matthew 26:64, you quoted, I think it was, Jesus, you said it yourself, nevertheless I tell you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power. I'm not sure what that was about, so I can't comment on that. Sorry. Let's see. All right. So then you start making a bunch of other comments. Let me just kind of close this up by saying that, first of all, when I went off slightly off topic about why Jesus was crucified, the purpose of it, it was in there quickly. You're off topic. When Lassam goes off topic and starts clearing up Bible difficulties and contradictions, which is not what the discussion is on, no comment is mentioned. I couldn't read in English that there was any comment about off topic. Went on and on and on and on, and then later, after 5 or 10 minutes of this, said, "Oh, this is about the crucifixion." Okay, well, all right, finished there, right? Maybe. But it does say in Luke 24:6, now this is what the Bible says. The guys who wrote it, they knew. They were there. Oops, sorry. Here we go. The people who were there, who wrote about what they saw, wrote that Jesus was crucified. That's what they said they saw. Now, if you could establish, or any of you could establish, that the Bible has been altered or changed, I would love to see it. The textual documents are New Testament documents alone are 99.5% textually pure. So you could not establish that they have been altered or changed, because we have so many copies of the originals that there's no variations in them except for 0.5%. And they agree in 99.5%. So, in other words, we've got a reliable representation of what the originals were. And the originals say that, for example, say this, that the angel said he was risen, that he had been crucified. That's what it says. That's what the text says, these reliable documents. We also see this here, Matthew 27:36. They put up above his head. This is why he's been crucified. Matthew was his disciple. He walked with Jesus and talked with him. And this is what he says. Matthew, who was there, wrote this. They put up above his head the charge against him which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." At that time, two robbers were crucified with him. I mean, it should be over at this point. See, it amazes me. The Bible says he's crucified, you say, no, it's not true. But it says it was. The eyewitness there, Matthew, wrote it, you say, it's not true. You try and say it's not trustworthy by having contradictions, but I can answer them all and did. And you say, it's not true. Why do you say it's not true? Because you don't want it to be. Because you refuse to believe it. You refuse to believe what Jesus himself said. You refuse to believe what the eyewitnesses said. You refuse to believe what Paul the Apostle said, who saw him after his resurrection. You refuse it. Okay, that's your privilege. You can refuse all you want to believe what Jesus said. You can refuse to believe the eyewitnesses. You can refuse to believe he's God in flesh, which is what Jesus said when he quotes the divine title of I am that I am. You can reject it. It's up to you. I'm not going to reject it. I'm not going to reject the eyewitnesses. I'm not going to reject what Jesus said. I'm not going to reject what Paul said. I'm not going to reject the clear testimony, the historical reliability and accuracy of the biblical accounts. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to reject the prophecies of the Old Testament fulfilled in the New. I'm not going to reject the miracles that Jesus has done. I'm not going to reject it. There's no evidence to show that the Bible has been altered. There's no evidence. I have no reason to doubt these men who died for what they believed in. Now, you said, according to you, you have nothing to do with the sins of Adam. Well, yes, we do. He sinned and he fell, and we're born out of him, so therefore we're affected by that. That's what it says. You fail to understand also that the Bible does not say that we are responsible for Adam's sin. It's not what Christianity teaches, not what the Bible teaches. It said that sin entered the world through Adam, and therefore all sin. He fell, and therefore we inherited a sinful nature, fallen nature, and we sin. And we're going to be responsible for our sin before God. And you can stand before God rejecting Jesus and his work on the cross. And you can try and stand before God on your own merits and hope that Allah will forgive you. But as it says, the balance of your works is what does that plus grace. Nope. The crucifixion of Christ is the very place where our sins were put upon him. 1 Peter 2:24. He died, as the scriptures prophesied, and he rose from the dead, as the scriptures prophesied, and were fulfilled. And therefore, my hope of deliverance of my sins rests completely and totally in him. The God-man, who said he was the Son of God, John 5:18, which means he is equal to the Father. So, I have answered your objections, your alleged contradictions. I think I may have missed one or two because I just couldn't type them all out that fast. You're going so fast. I've got Bible contradictions list on my website, answered. And they're there. So, it's up to you guys to do what you want with the gospel. That is, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can reject it. You can say that they're what they're talking about. You can say the eyewitnesses were wrong. You can say Jesus did not say what he said while he was on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? He said that, which you quoted. And you can say it, but it's not real, it's not true. And you can say, as you said, the angels never said he had risen, but they did, showing you're just not that astute when it comes to reading what the Bible says about it. And you can reject it if you want. That's your privilege. But do it to your danger. Jesus is God in flesh, who died with my sin in his body on the cross, and by grace, and only by grace am I going to be saved from the damnation, the righteous damnation of God, only through the Son, Jesus Christ. Without him, you don't have any hope, and I don't have any hope. I put my faith in him and what the eyewitnesses wrote about him, that he was crucified. I'm finished.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mark. And maybe thank you for coming here. Mike, now for Mr. Hisham, he wants to say something.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You can see the regards of everybody now. Inshallah, we're going to send you for question and answer right now. So we're going to finish. Alhamdulillah. Good mic to everybody. Time for question and answer, inshallah. Time for question and answer. Everybody raise his hand, inshallah. Everybody raise his hand. Matt, first, before we start the question and answer, I would like to thank you for the good opportunity to have a second debate with you. Thank you very much for that. And I would like to say you are a gentleman, and it's nice to debate with you, because you're really a bright man, a gentleman, you know, so I'm really delighted to debate with you. And if you will, next week, you said you would like somebody to next week